Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
And me and this t-shirt, we've been through it.
We've
been through a lot. No, you just can freely get rid of that t-shirt, but this stranger t-shirt that you're just, you know, taking a look at the store, you feel bad for that t-shirt, not the t-shirt that you've been through, you know, life with.
Yeah, it's a different thought to me.
Now that is weird.
And the Bulldog.
The shirts that you wore, you loved. They had time with you. There's nothing to be sad about. The stuff you don't pick never got
it's,
to...
It's the ending of the relationship. It's a sad time. No one enjoys a breakup. You're breaking up with that t-shirt. And you're not even giving it to a nice new family or like say, oh, yeah, go have another nice life. You're throwing it in the trash. That t-shirt has nowhere to go.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
And this is easily the weirdest conversation we've had ever.
Think about some t-shirts. Some t-shirts you don't even give that luxury. Of going to the trash, you chop it up into a shop rag and you wipe grease off with it. Yep. How do you think that t-shirt feels?
I should
subjugated.
Feel, I should feel bad.
Subjugated. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Haven't heard that one in a while. Whenever Joe's here for a week, it's new stuff, new old stuff. Subjugated t-shirt. Maybe that t-shirt is happy to still be a part of your life. Miss you, Ryan Gates, out there, wherever you are, man. Hope you're well, you and the fam.
I see Ryan.
Yeah, good for you.
I think he's good. He's the same, I think.
Good.
Yeah, good. With us now on the West Shore Hotline is Theo Greminger, who we hope is good. Theo is
doing great.
All right. Covered fantasy points. He's been on our show many times by now, so you should be familiar with Theo. Nobody works harder, produces more content in the fantasy space than Theo. You know, Theo, we've talked a number of times, as I said, and I feel like the Friday comes, you're on our menu here, so to speak, and like, all right, Bills, how do we make fantasy interesting to a Bills audience that maybe doesn't all play fantasy? So who's obvious? James Cook, we've talked about him probably every time. Dalton Kincaid, we talk about him every time. You know who we don't talk about every time? Josh Allen. Maybe we should try that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've had this conversation on a couple of shows recently about how the elite quarterback tier is pretty affordable, and he's going in a range of drafts where, you know, we've seen landmines in other years. Like, there's this sort of idea that the 3-4 turn is going to produce all these league winners, but it also produces these guys that just don't hit. So Josh Allen is really one of the best bets to make. And also this year with Lamar Jackson and also Jaden Daniels getting pushed up, like, significantly, it's hard to see Josh Allen it's hard to see Josh Allen being a bad pick for you. Is he the best pick you can make at, like, the 3-4 turn in, like, an FFPC 350 or main event? Not sure. That'll be proven, but I don't think he'll be one of the worst ones. The guy's been incredibly consistent, and he also is the kind of player that can give you just incredible spike week production. And if you time that right, that could be the key to winning a ton of money.
I think the hardest thing about picking one of those three quarterbacks there isn't the player that you're not taking. Like, I don't need DJ Moore so badly that I would have to have him or Mike Evans over Allen or Lamar Jackson. But I'm regretting picking quarterbacks there sometimes, Theo, because there are so many, I think, maybe not on the same level, but good options later. Like the Prescott range, what is that, round 11? Trevor Lawrence is like round 15 in drafts, and he almost definitely won't come in above Allen. But whatever receiver I'm taking there is not coming in above Mike Evans, you know, probably. So that's my one hang-up when it comes to the so-called elite QBs is I get to the middle or the end of these drafts, and I kind of wish I still needed a quarterback because they're good options.
Yeah, there's good options. But I think that one thing that the mobile quarterbacks right. who give you rushing production are getting pushed up and up in drafts, and it's harder to find those guys than it was years back. Like, you know, we look back a few years, go way back, the Lamar Jackson MVP year, people were drafting him like below QB12 or right around QB12, somewhere in that QB12 to QB15 range. You basically won your draft when you drafted Lamar Jackson in that range. Mahomes the year before was unbelievable. He's the MVP winner that year, and you were getting him lower. But now it's like every single year these guys get pushed up and up, and I think the rushing production especially, like a guy like Justin Fields. Like Justin Fields, I think, would be the one where he could potentially rush for 1,000 yards, and you're occasionally able to get him inside of round 10, inside of round 11. But sometimes in those drafts where guys just get pushed down, you know, he could be one that really gets you there. You bring up guys like Trevor Lawrence, and I would say, you know, what's the upside for Trevor Lawrence? Like, he could have a great season and be QB8, and that's not necessarily going to help you beat the Josh Allen drafter. So I don't know. I think if you're going to wait on quarterback, I don't necessarily think I'd wait as long as, like, the Trevor Lawrence, C.J. Stroud tier. I think that might be a little bit too late. If I'm going to do that, I might as well wait a little longer and grab, like, the unknown of J.J. McCarthy, who you can get around later. I'd prefer, if you don't want to go with the early ones, I think this year the market is pretty right to dive into some of these low-end QB1s. I mentioned Fields. I think he's interesting. Drake May is pushed up to, like, QB14 right now. I think he could have a tremendous amount of rushing upside. It's sort of a one-man gang in what should be sort of a limited New England Patriots offense. So I'm with you, Mike. I think waiting is okay, but I think you need to, like, really time your pockets and find those valuable windows and say, what guy can, like, really, really push my team up from this range? Because you don't want to get stuck drafting a guy QB, like, 16, and he finishes as the QB12, QB11. That's not really helping your team.
You know, Theo, on Allen's rushing, it's a subject that we have spent a lot of time on every offseason since he reached the level he's at now. And some of that has been taking cues from the Bills because they sometimes, management and coaching, has sounded like, you know, they're worried about him exposing himself that way and they want to save it for when it really matters and that kind of thing. When do you think, if, you know, will it take him actually having a bad year rushing or an injury for the fantasy world to sort of slow down on his rushing being such a given? Because it stands to reason at some point or another, we don't know where that cliff is going to come. But I feel like at some point here, hoping he's the Bills quarterback for another 7 or 8 years, that he's not going to be jumping over linebackers forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. He's been incredibly efficient with the touchdown rate as a passer. You know, you've seen him hit at least 28 touchdown passes in every season since 2020. Upside was like that 37-38 touchdown season a little earlier on in his career in like 2020. But rushing-wise, it's interesting. You bring up like the past two seasons, his rushing yardage has only been in the 500s, which is still elite, but not like the, you know, the next level, nearly 800 rushing yards he gave you in like 2021. But he's been so efficient with the touchdowns. The last two seasons, 27 rushing touchdowns. For me, he can still maintain that even if the rush attempts go down. He's just such an efficient runner around the goal line, and he's such a massive human being. It's like a 33-year-old Josh Allen. Like, the tendencies for him will probably still be pretty similar in terms of when he has an opportunity to score rushing touchdowns, probably go for it. So I think that gets a little bit overrated, and that's sort of a conversation now with dynasty managers, is Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, as they're nearing 30 years old, are we going to see these guys start declining in their rushing numbers, which is sort of the appeal for the Jaden Daniels. You get a discount there, but I don't know. I think it's very hard to predict that sort of thing. I mean, we saw Cam Newton towards the end, and that's obviously not in the same level of player as Josh Allen, but Cam Newton never really got away from it. These guys, it's just part of their DNA to put their head down and find the goal line.
Yeah, that's the difference between Allen and Jackson, I think, projecting forward, is that Allen is much more Newton, where it's physical. And he started to slide a little bit more the last couple of years. They've kind of made a joke about it a little bit at times here. Whereas Jackson is so fast and slithery, like you never see him take a hit. And I don't know, like he doesn't have to stay fast forever. But I think maybe that's more sustainable just as a runner. You know, guys like us are drafting all these guys. I mean, Allen, Jackson, Daniels. Do you have a favorite of the three?
It's a really tough one. And I sort of took a cop out here in my top 50 overall at Fantasy Points, which is going to become a top 100 soon. And I ranked them all back to back. I'm a slightly ahead of consensus on all three versus ADP. I want to see you draft them a few spots earlier than they actually go in to make sure you get one. Daniels, I think, is probably, if you're looking for a little bit of a discount in some drafts, he goes as the QB3, and it might be, you know, eight spots behind a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. So if you're looking for that, I think Daniels is there. Daniels is one where he was second to Lamar Jackson in rushing yardage last year, and they've really improved the offensive line in Washington. They've attempted to improve wide receiver two with Deebo Samuel. There's just a lot to like, and the Vegas markets are projecting Washington to be one of the highest scoring teams in football. So I think he's worthy of being kind of pulled into that big two. Jalen Hurts goes a little bit later. He's interesting to me as well because he's sort of, nobody's really enthusiastic about Hurts, and he also gives you that rushing upside. And then I'm very much into Joe Burrow at ADP as well. Burrow, I think we could see a 50-touchdown pass season out of him. Peak Peyton Manning-like numbers, because I think everything's sort of setting up for Burrow with sort of a poor defense, potential for more shootouts in that division than we maybe have seen in the past, and just the weapons he has around him and the comfort level he had last season. I think Burrow's a fine pick as well, not giving you the sort of rushing upside as those other four. But if you want to go early quarterback, I think he's very appealing as well.
One area, Theo Greminger, our guest, one area where the Bills are really not in play is rookie running backs. And I saw you tweeting about the many interesting, if not exciting, rookie running backs there are on the board this year. How many are we talking? Everybody listening knows who Ashton Jeanty is, and that's a first-round pick in fantasy football. Then you have, like, the Pocket, Hampton, Harvey, those guys, Judkins, Henderson, rounds 5 and 6 there. That's, you know, high draft capital, okay. But there are a lot more, Theo, I think you'd agree.
Absolutely. And I think we have, we always sort of have recency, well, not necessarily me and you, Mike, because we've been doing this for a long time. But I think the average drafter sort of has recency bias. And last year we saw all of the older running backs produce and stay healthy. You know, from the very top, like guys like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, and then going way down the list, guys like Aaron Jones had a really good season for him his first year in Minnesota. James Conner stayed healthy for like the whole season for the first time in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a year where things could sort of catch up with people, where avoiding the unknown upside and avoiding sort of ceiling outcome players that you get from these potential rookies, I think that could get people in trouble this year. I think just naturally, everything's going to come back to normal, and you'll see more running backs getting banged up, more so than we saw last year. And I think we have the most talented rookie running back class since 2017, sort of entering the league all at one time. And the enthusiasm for a lot of these older running backs, and, you know, it was earned. Guys really earned it last year, certainly like Josh Jacobs earned every bit of ADP this year. Kamara is still hanging in there. But it sort of pushed down the non-Ashton Jeanty rookie running backs to ranges where I think they could pay off. Like Omarion Hampton going in the middle of round four is your ultimate like swing for the fences type pick, where could Najee Harris be a very annoying presence, especially at the beginning of the season? I think so, but I think Hampton's the kind of talent that could really overcome that and be a guy who gives you RB1 numbers, you know, throughout the second half of the season. You're getting him at RB17. Then you reference like the other interesting rookies, where RJ Harvey, running back 18, now has the Dobbins argument attached to him. Travion Henderson, bad offensive line in New England, and a team that people are just not that enthusiastic to draft. Judkins, no one wants any Cleveland Browns. They're all discounted, but he was a top 40 pick and an incredible producer in college. And then Caleb Johnson. There's been a whole like segment of people sort of making the argument that this is a big Jalen Warren season. Caleb Johnson, I think, is a very talented player. Mike Tomlin has spoken glowingly about him. And people expecting Jalen Warren to suddenly take on a massive amount of volume that we haven't necessarily seen from him throughout his whole career, I think is wishful thinking. Then you push down the line, a lot of these sort of dart throw running backs that are going to produce and in a lot of leagues be big-time waiver wire additions, and in other leagues just be bench stashes. There's a ton of these guys, Mike, like the DJ Gidden types.
Oh,
you know, that we saw Taj Brooks, if he wins the RB2 spot behind Chase Brown. There's
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Jarquez Hunter, if he can overcome Blake Corum as the handcuff to Kyren Williams, like he's very interesting.
Rashard Smith. So
there's just a huge number of rookie running backs that are competing for handcuff roles, and because of the quality of the draft class, these guys might have gone a round or two later than they would have in a draft class as recent as like 2024. 2023, for that matter, was really strong at the top, but not so deep. So I think this is going to be a season that we see rookie running backs giving us production. I think it makes sense to invest in them in your drafts, whether it's best ball, whether it's redraft. I think some of these guys are going to hit.
How about rookie receivers? We know the running backs. I mean, that was a big story in the draft, and the receiver class was certainly not what it was, far from it, from last NFL draft. But, you know, Travis Hunter way up top. What about What about value with rookie receivers, Theo?
Well, we've had a great trend here for fantasy football where a rookie wide receiver has finished as a top six scorer in PPR leagues in four out of the last five seasons. And last season, you actually had two of them with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. The years before were Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and then the only other season that a rookie didn't reach that sort of level of production was the Garrett Wilson rookie year, where he was Offensive Rookie of the Year and still really helped you in fantasy, but it was a little bit more backloaded production. So rookie wide receivers have come in and returned value every single year, and I think that the Tet McMillan, Travis Hunter duo are priced very, very well for you. We talk about like the quarterbacks at that 3-4 turn. When we look at Tet McMillan's going at the 4-5 turn, and Travis Hunter is going behind him. The argument with Tet McMillan is the Carolina offense has just been screaming for a high target earner, an alpha wide receiver who can step right in and immediately be like 130 target or more type player. I think Dave Canales is a very smart offensive mind. We saw what he was able to get out of like Chuba Hubbard last year. That helped fantasy managers win. The year before, Rashad White really helped fantasy managers win. And obviously, he's been the quarterback whisperer with multiple players, Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, Geno Smith in Seattle, and then last year, Bryce Young, who we sort of left for dead. So I think looking for Dave Canales to return to give us that same sort of return on value at ADP with a wide receiver, I mean, this guy knows what he's doing offensively, and I think McMillan's going to step right in there and be really, really good. Travis Hunter is interesting because unlike McMillan, he has immense target competition in Brian Thomas Jr., but not much else there. The tight end, the wide receiver three, it's sort of a jumbled, ambiguous backfield right now. So for me, Travis Hunter is also very appealing. Hunter's going around guys like Jameson Williams. He's sort of in that similar bet. I think he's going to put up immense spike weeks, and I think Travis Hunter is going to be a guy that maybe it's not going to be quite as consistent with the target volume as McMillan. It's just a big bet on talent and reasonable price tag at ADP. And then you go a little further down with the wide receivers. I think if you want to look for some guys that are potential like contingent upside plays, Emeka Egbuka is super interesting because he's the 19th overall pick, big-time producer at Ohio State. He's wide receiver 50 in drafts, but he's playing behind the oldest starting wide receiver duo in football. And we've heard Baker Mayfield mention that he's very impressed by Egbuka's talent. He said that the guy is like built like a running back and he catches the ball like Chris Godwin. But he's also complimented Egbuka for his versatility, said he can play every position in the offense. So when I look at Egbuka, if Godwin or Evans misses time, I think Egbuka could be one that could return a ton of value. And Evans missed time last year. Chris Godwin missed time last year. And these guys are Evans is well north of 30, and Godwin is getting up there. So for me, Egbuka is interesting. There's a couple others. Matthew Golden has a chance to lead the wide receiver room in Green Bay. That could be a low volume once again. But Golden is still like Golden's a guy where everybody wants to kind of beat up the profile. A lot of dynasty analysts were anti-Golden throughout the process.
He's too fast. But
exactly, Mike. It's some really smart people. So like you guys had Scott Barrett on, who I podcast with. Mm-hmm. He's been sort of negative towards Golden. A bunch of other smart people we podcast with have made the same sort of argument. But for me, I've been taking a glass half full approach with Golden. It was the first wide receiver that Green Bay drafted in the first round since something crazy. It was like 20 years or something like that. And it was very reactionary to, I think, them getting throttled in the playoff game against Philly, where Love had a bunch of turnovers. They couldn't score. So they draft Golden in round one. They draft Savion Williams in round three. I think they want to get a little more balanced. And Golden's main wide receiver competition is Jaden Reed, a guy we've never seen have more than like a 70% target share. So I think he's interesting. Jaden Higgins, Luther Burden, Trey Harris, all of these guys are interesting. I think Kyle Williams is one, Mike, that might steam up to a spot where it's maybe a little bit too expensive a price tag for a third-round wide receiver on a team that we're not so sure about. But Kyle Williams has a ton of juice. I'd say he's been sort of an offseason riser. So I think this rookie wide receivers have been ADP cheat code for drafters for multiple seasons. And, I don't want to sound positive about every positional group, but the wide receivers this year, they're much cheaper in every segment than they were last year. This is not the 2024 class. I think this is not quite as good a class, but multiple players in this class are going to get instant opportunities, and sometimes it gets kind of fast loaded, and these guys get a larger opportunity than we anticipate. So I like a number of these rookie wide receivers, but specifically the three I mentioned at the top, I think are expensive for a reason, but I think they could return big time investments.
I'm drafting Kyle Williams when I can get May with him on the turn that sometimes falls right. And I'm drafting Luther Burden in every draft. Those are my two takes on rookie receivers.
Luther Burden's awesome. And I think that Ben Johnson, Burden, and the slot wide receiver in a Ben Johnson offense has been cheat code. People love to say that's a ridiculous thing to say because his slot wide receiver was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown was super productive. He also used Laporta in the slot, and Laporta was tight end one overall as a rookie. But if you go back to his days in Miami, he was attached to the Jarvis Landry season where Landry had left receptions that year. It was just cheat code from the slot. So if Luther Burden can get that slot role, Mike, I think that's enough for the best ball drafter. Burden makes sense because it's a kind of a cheap way to take a shot at like the Chicago wide receivers gaining the best, one of them producing. Might as well go with the cheapest one.
I think the last Packers first-round receiver was Javon Walker.
Javon Walker.
2002. They never did it with Rodgers there, and I'm sure he's, pleased about that. Theo, thank you as always. Continue to enjoy your summer, I hope, and we'll talk again soon.
We'll talk soon. Have a good weekend, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Theo Greminger. Theo Greminger, which also comes out to the OG Reminger on X, as Bulldog calls it. I got a Bob Chandler factoid for Bulldogs. It's a day late, but for his anniversary. Your favorite player ever.
Thanks.
Who died at 45, Bob Chandler.
Yeah.
After he played for Oakland, won a Super Bowl with Oakland, and then he's around the OJ scene there with the murders, and he was dead like not long after that. But you'll like this. 803-0550. Allen and the MVP, other stuff we've been talking about with our guests. We will continue along those lines here after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
One odds maker told me Josh Allen was more valuable than Mahomes. So if Allen was out, he'd be worth about 7 points. So let's say the Bills are at home against the Raiders and they're a 14-point favorite. If Allen's out, the line is 7. If it's Mahomes against the Raiders, the line doesn't drop as much as it does for Allen, which is wild for some people to think about out loud. But he's definitely more important what the Bills do on offense than Mahomes is for the Chiefs. And then you got Andy Reid and all the weapons that KC has. But Josh, of course he could win it again. There's no reason he can't.
A couple of things about that. That's Sam Panayotovich with us last hour. I'm not sure I think he's wrong about that specific point, Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah.
I guess I have an easier time imagining the Chiefs staying afloat with Gardner Minshew or last year Carson Wentz. I mean, it's really, though, a little bit unfair because I know how their season went. You know, it's like in the past. And they didn't score a lot. Their defense was really good. They didn't need Mahomes to light anybody up to win like almost literally all of their games. I have a terrible time imagining the Bills without Allen doing anything, like getting first downs.
Yeah.
I really just think the Bills offense would go to the bottom without him.
I think that's right. It's weird because it sounds like you're saying Mahomes isn't that valuable.
Well, valuable
in some way, but it's relative. Like you've got, yeah, I would have more faith in Reed finding a way to make something work, scheme guys open, easy throws for guys, it's not really about, you know, for me at all, Minshew versus Trubisky, although that's what it really comes down to, right? You're talking about the backup quarterbacks. I do not like Trubisky as the backup quarterback at all anymore here. I wish that I hope Mike White beats him out.
Mike White, number 14.
I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying that, but it's a little bit like how when Tyrod and EJ and was it Fitzpatrick?
Castle?
Whoever the three were. Like, who do you want to win the job? I want Tyrod to win the job. Why? Because I haven't seen it yet. No one's seen it yet, and maybe it could be half decent, right? Whereas I think I know what these other guys are, and it's not good. And Mike White, we've seen a little of Mike White. I mean, it landed great the first time I think we ever saw him in a primetime game for the Jets, and he threw for over 300 yards. And then Zach Wilson went back in, and they couldn't move the ball again. But it's been just a little bit. It's not a lot to choose from. Trubisky, you've got a long time in Chicago that he plays his way out of even a fifth-year option there. You've got the opportunity in Pittsburgh, and that's where he really lost me. Watching him play in Pittsburgh, he just could not pull the trigger. And I think you've seen that even when he's played for the Bills in preseason. I just don't have any faith. You know, what did our great friend, the late, great John Clayton, used to say? Like, backup quarterback, split, you know, get me, you know, if you got to play four games, win me two. I don't even know that Trubisky, I have faith in him doing that, regardless of who they're playing. I just don't trust him to get rid of the ball. So it is a lot of it for me is about that. But still, the advantage you've got with a schemer like Reed, I just think he'd find ways to move the ball with another guy. It's not to say Mahomes is just an incredible talent. It's just the gap is larger, I think, between what you can do without either guy when you're talking about the Bills.
And that makes – I mean, that the point is that, like, greatness is one category and value is another, and they're not always the same list. Like, your MVP stuff – I've always minded this about MVP discourse is that it supposes what teams would be without the player. Like that's always part of the conversation. Allen versus Lamar Jackson, Allen versus Mahomes. It's always part of the conversation is what would their teams be without them? And that's not really within their control, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Am I trying to MVP? I've said it a million times. Is meant to be, in every sports sense, it's meant to identify the best player. And it doesn't. It can get twisted, and it can get twisted this way, where we're trying to figure out how good Gardner Minshew is. And, like, that's ridiculous, right? Reed, coaching, backups, receivers. Allen had you and I had a better chance of winning last year because Diggs was gone. Should that mean anything to how good he is? Does it really mean anything to how good he is? No. It means something to, we think, how valuable he is, which is, like, that's the word on the trophy. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Mike White is no different for me than Trubisky is. It's just Allen and his talent, including his running, which is so unfair to a defense when it's third and medium. Third and short, third and forget it. Like, anytime he doesn't run is maybe it's a risk. It's dumb for the Bills, you know? Like, just go get your 5 yards. Just go take them. And is Mitchell Trubisky going to do that? It's not even a fair comparison. No. So that right there, the ease with which the Bills can pick up first downs because of Allen and his running makes him, I mean, as important as any player in the league. And Baltimore, when we have examples with Baltimore playing without Lamar Jackson, and it went okay. Like, they didn't lose all the time. They didn't win all the time. But they were kind of – that's how I would kind of see the Chiefs, a team in the middle when their guy goes out. I don't know what happens to the Bills. We hope to never find out if Allen misses, you know, a lot of time in a season. I mean, I think it's over. As soon as that happens, and I don't have to be right. No one knows.
Yeah.
But it does sort of shape your opinion about the roster, about the coach, about the GM which is ultimately for me is like, I mean, I think they're really lucky to have him. I don't think they're bad. I just think he is the prince by far. He is the principal figure in their success. And I don't know, like, I kind of want to know, but I don't. I'd like to have sort of proof in my mind of whether that's actually true, but I don't really want to know that because that means they're playing without him. Bob Chandler, are you sitting down?
For now.
You were at the game.
Come on.
What?
Go ahead.
Chiefs at Bills, 1973.
No, you got the
wrong. You were at the Bengals game.
You got the right. I was at the Bengals game.
This was a Monday night game.
Yes.
That you may have watched.
I remember it well. OJ went over 1,000 yards. Seventh game of the year, went over 1,000 yards for the season.
And Bob Chandler recorded his first and only extra point.
Come on. I don't remember that at all.
So this would have been no two-point conversion. You know, it's 20 years off, 1973. This would have been a botched snap, maybe, and he's the holder. Would Bob Chandler have been the holder?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that makes
sense.
Yeah.
And he runs it in, and he gets credit for an extra point.
All right.
If you look up his career stats,
yeah.
And I didn't know this when I brought it up a few minutes ago. I just know that he had an extra point.
Yeah.
That's it. It's on a run after an OJ touchdown.
I don't remember watching that game, and it's possible it was blacked out.
Very.
It's first year of the stadium, but still. I do not remember seeing the game on TV myself, but I was eight, so, I mean, it's possible I just forgot. I mean, I know I have pictures of the Monday Night Football crew in the booth, like from the newspaper. It was a big deal. Monday Night Football's in town, OJ, the whole thing.
First time?
1,000 yards in seven games. And yeah, I think so. So that was really, really cool. But I do not remember sitting and watching the game. And it's not, I mean, I guess it's possible that my parents made me go to bed. I mean,
well, it's more possible that it wasn't on.
Yeah.
Because we talked about the 77 season, and that team was bad, and this was like a historic year with Simpson. But again, this is like the third time this week. Something about sports in the old days you can't believe. It just doesn't sort of make sense in your mind. No one was there. The 77 Bills highlights, nobody is in the stadium.
Yeah.
Like literal entire empty sections.
Yeah.
You watch a play from behind OJ, he gets the handoff. He was on that team for a while. He got hurt, but you watch him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From behind center, there's a game against Atlanta that they win 3-0.
Gee, I wonder why people didn't kill themselves to get in there.
Right. They win the game 3-0. And I remember watching this highlight a couple days ago. And it's a handoff to O.J. Simpson, and he breaks a few tackles and runs like for 8 yards. And like the entire far end zone is empty.
Yeah.
Nobody is there for the Monday night game against Kansas City to be on TV. What? You need to sell it out days in advance.
Right.
You think that happened? Probably not.
Yeah, we could probably find the attendance for that game somewhere.
It's not on reference. I was looking.
Okay.
Well, but it would be somewhere. You're right.
Yeah.
Somebody would know.
But my memory is I don't recall watching it. That doesn't mean for sure it wasn't on, but it wouldn't. Like we're saying, it wouldn't be surprising that it would have been blacked out. Games were blacked out all the time.
Most games. It was a school night, and it started at 9.
Right.
Monday Night Football started at 9 until I was an adult.
Yes.
So very recently did they change it to 9. Or from 9. Yeah, 9 o'clock. How did we live like that? What did we do from dinner time to 9 on a Monday in the football season? What did we do?
Stream episodes of Severance on Apple TV.
I mean, we just read.
Right.
We read by the fire.
Right.
We listened to the radio. We knitted. What did we do from 6 to 9 on Monday nights in the fall in the 70s before Monday Night Football? What did we do?
We canned vegetables and fruits for the long winter ahead.
Yes, that's right. We pickled things. I don't know. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back. We'll talk some more Josh Allen, NFL quarterback landscape next hour, MVP stuff. Join us if you want, 803-0550. It costs nothing. This has to be short, looking at the clock. So as it's apparently unofficially Bob Chandler week, 1977, 60 catches, second in the league.
What a sport.
Wow.
Right. Yep.
Were they playing 16 games by then? What year did that change? 77. No.
No.
The next year.
You know the year?
I think 78.
Yeah.
They changed a bunch of rules in 78. Maybe the league was in a bad place. You look at Bills highlights, like the stadium's empty.
Right.
It's kind of amazing to think about. Like if the Bills got bad again, would the stadium be empty? No. It wouldn't be empty. Might be half empty.
No, the Bills were bad in the drought, and the stadium wasn't empty. I mean, they weren't bad. They weren't two-win bad.
It was almost always full.
One bad year in there, but yeah.
Right. 1977, Bob Chandler finished second in the NFL with 60 receptions. Do you love that?
I love that. 60 receptions. We're over here like dogging Kincaid for only 73 as a rookie, or Shakir leading the team with, what did he have last year? 76, 80 something? I don't even remember now. I can get it.
76.
76, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60 catches.
Right.
50 bases.
Do you have who led the...
Oh, I forgot. 74? 77?
Yeah.
Nat Moore led in touchdown catches. I don't know if he led in receptions. Somebody had... No, I know who was. It was a running back.
Oh, boy.
Can you get it?
Pass-catching running back.
I think he had over 70.
In the late 70s.
Yep. I don't really have a sense for how good this guy was. I mean, I know his name, and it was a good team, but it's not like a Hall of Famer or anything like that.
I have no...
It's 71.
I have no idea. The only name that came to mind right now, and I don't know if he was any kind of a pass rushing threat, but I thought of Lydell Mitchell for some reason.
Correct.
Come on!
That's the name. That's the answer.
I must have remembered him catching swing passes or something. Like, yep. Holy cow.
Lydell Mitchell.
Wow.
Led the NFL in 1977.
Oh, my weekend's made.
71 catches.
I don't even care how I play golf tomorrow or Sunday.
Lydell Mitchell.
All right, Lydell Mitchell.
He was good.
I'm going to spray a drive into the fescue. I'm going to say, Lydell Mitchell. out loud to everyone, and they're going to go, what are you talking about? I'm like, don't you mind.
I might start doing that.
Never you mind. That's going to be my new yell from the tee box.
I might start yelling out Lydell Mitchell.
I don't yell in the tee box. Only at John Gale when he stands behind me and yells, ooh, even though he can't see the ball and it's sprayed way off to the right and he celebrates like it's a good shot. That's what he does to me. He means well. He thinks it sounded good. So he makes a sound. Like, nah, dude, that's on the tennis courts. It was not a good shot. But thank you for your support.
Yeah, thanks for caring, though.
You're not aggravating me at all, honestly, really. Hardly at all.
One player that had more, hardly at all. One player that had more than 60 catches last year, Elijah Moore.
All right.
For Cleveland. You do that for Cleveland. Always here for an Elijah Moore prediction. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Happy Friday, beautiful day. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.